Yud Zayin Shvat, Friday the 6th of February, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Parshas Yisro.
I wanted to look at the, not the central theme of the parasha, which is of course the Sefer Dibros, but something that I've always found very enigmatic over the years, which is what Rav Hirsch calls the epilogue to the Sefer Dibros, the last five pesukim of the parasha. The last five pesukim of the parasha from the Maftir, actually, if you have a chumash in front of you, it might be useful. Really, contain within it three mitzvahs. Three mitzvahs. But at first sight, it's difficult to see what relationship there is between those mitzvahs and their seres v'dibros. And actually, not many mefarshim discuss it. But hopefully we'll share some ideas. What are those three mitzvahs? It begins in the introductory pasuk. You have seen, that I spoke with you from Shemayim, from the heavens. So, a pasuk which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you've seen from your own eyes, Mamad HaSinai, you have been there. Then it says, Lo sasun iti Elohei Chesed Elohei Zav. You mustn't make with me, literally, gods of silver or gods of gold. Lo sasun lochem. Which at first sight is really a bit puzzling, because we've already had in the Aseret Dibros, the first of the Aseret Dibros, state quite clearly the injunction against making idols. So what is this adding? Then Mizbach Adama Tasli, some laws with reference to construction of the Mizbeach. And then, for the Salaf Malas and Mizbachi, the laws in reference to the ramp that led up to Mizbeach and the Choshes, Ashado Sigola and Rosto Allah. But the Mizbeach had to have a ramp and not steps, such that when the Kohanim ascended to the Mizbeach for the Avodah, their legs were not revealed. And even though the Kohanim wore mechnasai, they wore trousers, says Rashi that if they took steps up the steps, it would be inappropriate, it would be an aspect of immodesty. So we have these three mitzvahs in the Maftir. Let's analyze them and see what we can glean, and hopefully see if there's a theme that links them to Seres Dibros themselves. So first of all, of course, we must start with Rashi. So Rashi tells us, the first of the three, the Osas Nitzu Lehei Chesu Lehei Zav, is actually a reference to the Kruvim. It's actually a reference to the Kruvim. Of course, the Kruvim are not commanded until Parshas Truma. But a reference to the Kruvim, namely that, and there's three separate instructions over here. You must make Elohei Chesed, silver, Elohei Zohov, gold, Lo Sasu Lachem, you must not make for yourselves. So Rashi explains that each of these three is a different aspect of a halacha with the Kruvim. So the Kruvim, first of all, have got to be made out of gold. They can't be made out of silver. You might think that silver, for some reason, might look better than gold, might be more fashionable than gold. No, you can't. And Rashi says quite clearly, if you don't, if you make it, if you decide to make them out of silver, says Hashem, then they're not a tribute to me, they become gods, they are idols, they're totally profane. They might have the same tzura, the same dimensions, the same. They may look exactly the same if in silver, not gold, then that's it, that's not mine. And then next, Elohei Zav, but they are supposed to be made out of Zav, so Rashi says, the don't think you can add, we've got two, maybe four would look nice, more symmetrical, you're not allowed to do that either. Again, if you add more, then finish, says the Torah, then they are idolaters. Lo sasu lachem, the third instruction, you might think that since we have Kruvim in the base of Midrash, it would be nice to have them elsewhere, in a base of Knesset, in a base of Medrash, have Kruvim. So Rashi says, no, again, that this is what he's telling you, nowhere else apart from here. So the first is an elaboration on some of the aspects of the Kruvim, and a stern warning that you've got to follow exactly as instructed. The second one, Mizbach Adama Tasli. So we're going to focus on the instruction in Pasuk Chavetz, the Mizbach Avonim Tasli, which Rashi says is when you make a Mizbeach out of stones, the Sivna Esen Gozis, you mustn't create the Miyun, Ki Chabrucha Ein Haft Aleha V'Techal Aleha. If you use a sword over it, then you will have profaned it. So Rashi brings from the Chilta two interesting aspects of it. Says as follows, the Mizbeach was created to lengthen the days of human beings, is created to be able to facilitate the process of Teshuvah, and create Shalom between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. To use a sword, an instrument of war, in the construction of it, no matter how noble your purpose is inappropriate. And then Rashi brings the Kal Vachomer. Stones which are inanimate, can't see and can't speak, but because they create Shalom, they are saved from the sword. Kal Vachomer, one who creates Shalom amongst human beings, is saved from the sword, saved from punishment. And there's a similar Kal Vachomer in reference to the last mitzvah, which is the Sarah of Malas and Mizbachi, that you're not allowed to create steps, you must create a ramp. So Rashi says, Shadeh Malas at a Torah Tahachi Pisiyosecha. Because if through steps you're going to have to take, if you've got physical steps, then your personal steps will be larger. V'af al pisha in a gilei erva mamish. In amazing words, even though this is not considered to be gilei erva mamish, a kind of absolute inappropriate moral behaviour, because he wears trousers, nonetheless, it's korov l'gilei erva. It has an aspect which is gilei erva, means adulterous behaviour, inappropriate behaviour. It's korov that. There's a reverberations of it in this. And then again, Rashi brings a kal v'chomer. These steps, which are inanimate, and they themselves can't be makbid, can't have particularity about their own kovod, or about their own degradation. Nonetheless, the Torah says, be careful. Kal v'chomer, when it comes to interactions between human beings, we've got to be very, very careful. So these are the three mitzvahs, and the kal v'chomer Rashi makes. In fact, actually, the Ramban brings that on the mitzvah number two, there's a machlok shoshen as to why it is that you can't use a sword. The Ibn Ezra says you can't use a sword because you can't use hewn stones. Shlo yishayin nifsal min even ashkotos. If you're going to hew out stones, you're going to use some. There's going to be other bits you don't use. The other bits will be cast away. And it's inappropriate that these stones, which are used for Kedusha, some is kept and some is cast away. The Moreh Nevuchim, again, the Ramban quotes, gives a different pshat. He says, because of the concern of Evan Maskis, if you have hewn stones, then that could lead you to hew out other things out of stones, and therefore. Actually, the Ramban himself dismisses both of those reasons and says, because over here, it's not that you can't have hewn stones, it's the methodology of hewing that's problematic. In the end, there are hewn stones that are using the shamir or even other instruments, but over here, it's the methodology that's problematic rather than the result that's problematic. So Ramban actually questions the pshat both of the Ibn Ezra and the Moreh Nevuchim, because according to their pshatim, it's about the result, not the methodology. Whereas according to Ramban, it's about the methodology rather than the result. If it was about the result, then we wouldn't focus on the implement that created the result, we'd focus on the end result, and therefore the Ramban dismisses, or challenges, I should say, Rambam and the Ibn Ezra. The Be'er Yosef Salant, has a very interesting question on the Kal V'Chomer of Rashi, which is brought from Mechilta. The Kal V'Chomer of Rashi, remember Rashi made two Kal V'Chomers here, brought two Kal V'Chomers. First one he referenced the Mizbeach Avonim. The if and Mizbeach, which is the instrument of creating peace between Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is saved from the sword. Kal V'Chomer those who are create peace between Adam and Chaveru will be saved from the sword. Right? If the Mizbeach, which facilitates Sholem between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the process of Tshuva, is saved from the sword, Kal V'Chomer anybody who creates peace. And the second Kal V'Chomer is to do with the modesty. Says the Be'er Yosef, it's a kind of strange extrapolation on the first sight. It's a strange extrapolation. Over here, you would have imagined that this is really more about the Kedusha of the Mizbeach. The Kedusha of the Mizbeach, and therefore is solely within the arena of Ben Adam L'Makim, between person to person. Here, this Mechilta extrapolates, Ben Adam L'Makim, between person and Hashem, thank you. Here, we extrapolate from Ben Adam L'Makim to Ben Adam L'Chameru. So Be'er Yosef says, you could have made a Kal V'Chomer as follows. If the Mizbeach, which itself is not the highest level of Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, you have these particularities about its construction. Kal V'Chomer, the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kodoshim, you ought to have these particularities about their construction. That would be a Kal V'Chomer we could relate to, because it's all within the arena of Ben Adam L'Makim. And therefore, if over here, Ben Adam L'Makim, we see that you've got these issues of Kedusha, Kal V'Chomer, where the Kedusha levels are higher. But in fact, it brings from the Mechilta that that is not the case. That is not the case. Mechilta says as follows. The Sivna es hen gozis. Here, you're not allowed to use hewn stones. These rules do not apply in the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim. Here, you've got to be careful about the steps that you take. But elsewhere in the Beis HaMikdash, it seems, there wasn't the same halachas. It's only reference to here to the Mizbeah that these halachas apply. Now, if this was just in terms of the Kedusha, Ben Adam L'Makom, person to Hashem, then it would follow, logically, that if it applies here where the levels of Kedusha are less, it ought to apply where the levels of Kedusha are more. We see that isn't the case. It applies here and only here. So this can't be just about Kedusha. In fact, we can't be focusing on the singularity of the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, because if we were, then it would apply elsewhere as well. So therefore, says Be'er Yosef, must be focusing on another aspect of the Mizbeach. Not on its Kedusha, but on its capacity to create Shalom. That's how the Mechilta, that's the Mechilta learns. It's focusing, if it was focusing on its Kedusha, it would translate elsewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Over here, it's not, it doesn't translate. Therefore, we must be focusing on another aspect of the Mizbeach. Not its Kedusha, but its capacity to create Shalom. Therefore, we understand, once you're in the arena of Shalom, then there can be a comparison. Shalom between Kosh Baruch Hu and human beings, Shalom between human beings and human beings, then the Kal V'Chomer stands. That now we understand how important it is that one who creates Shalom in this arena, Kal V'Chomer can create Shalom down here on earth, when there's so much possibility, unfortunately, of machlokas and schism. We understand now that there's a legitimate Kal V'Chomer. But he says it very beautifully as follows. Let's note, by the way, he says that actually there's a reference in the Torah itself, in the reference to the Mizbeach, that it isn't just talking about Mizbeach. Because it says as follows, in Mizbeach Avonim Ta'aseli, that's in Chof Beis, in Chof Gimel it says, Lo Sale V'malos Al Mizbechi. You must not create steps on my Mizbeach. Over here, suddenly the term changes. Before it was Mizbeach, it was objective, it wasn't personalized to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Here it's called Mizbechi. Says the Mechilta, that we know that Adam HaRishon was created from the offer of the Mizbeach. The component material to create Adam HaRishon was from the offer of the Mizbeach. Now, therefore he suggests that this kinoi, this reference to Mizbeach as Mizbechi, is also a reference to Adam, to human beings. Therefore, within the description of Mizbeach, we have an understanding that over here the Mizbeach represents almost, or to a degree, personifies the component material of Adam HaRishon. That also helps us understand why we then extrapolate from the Mizbeach to creating peace between Adam and Chavera. And then he says a very interesting paragraph. I'd like to read out one line. Because he notes that over here we've got very powerful lessons in this arena of Ben Adam and Mokim. There are very powerful lessons for Ben Adam and Chavera. Very powerful lessons. We're talking about the Kodesh, we're talking about the Mizbeach, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. This is the arena of Ben Adam and Mokim, person to Hashem. And yet within that, where the Mechilta extracts these lessons by Novel Machaveru. So I'm going to read you out a couple of lines if I may. Mizeh yesh lumad gamal adam. Bameh shem muzah b'kal v'chom ha'kob v'chomera. Here we can learn out, also in reference to human beings, by the fact that we learn out this kal v'chomer for kob v'chomera. Shafinim im holich la'asus mitzvah. Even if a person is on their way to do a mitzvah, af mitzvah shi rabba v'chamura ad mo'ed, even a mitzvah which is a very important mitzvah, v'torod v'osik bo, and is preoccupied with it, b'chol nibba v'nafsha, with all of his heart and soul. Gam oz lo yoved es ha-mishkol. Nonetheless, he mustn't lose the balance. Inyan has hiras b'kvod chavera. In reference to kavod chavera. Kamosh m'shon b'ofen zedekam mizbeach. Because here mizbeach, the mizbeach is really a focus primarily on Menob Namakim. Nonetheless, over here, punct over here, we say, hang on a second, you're preoccupied with Menob Namakim, you're preoccupied with your association with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In your preoccupation, make sure you don't step on people's toes as you're going to kiss the Sefer Torah in your zealousness to do so. So it struck me, and I've been looking for a long time for someone to say this, and he doesn't say it, but nonetheless, it struck me that maybe, of course, that this could also be the reason why these three mitzvahs follow this list of dibros. It's just this Berach Hefsha. It's only for two of them, there's a very clear instruction that you've just had the ultimate experience with Adam Lamakim. You've been at Ma'amad HaSinai, at Timre Eason, you've seen that experience. Now remember that even when you're in the middle of the experience with Adam Lamakim, in its ultimate sense, don't forget with Adam Lachavera. You can't use one to neglect the other. On the contrary, one ought to enhance the other. The more we appreciate Adam Lamakim, as he said, every human being is created with Adam Lamakim. That ought to enhance, that ought to demand more of us in our association with Adam Lachavera. So it's certainly true with Mizbeach in reference to Cherev and Emeh in reference to modesty. But what about the first one, Kruvim? Well, so this was my own suggestion, but the Kruvim themselves, per se, the Kruvim in their own right, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, are instruction by Adam Lachavera. In the very holiest place on earth for us, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they personify this idea that we have to have excellence in Adam Lachavera as well. So maybe following the Aseres HaDibros, with this ultimate experience of Adam Lamakim, here there are three mitzvahs which remind us. In those moments of Menod and Lamakim, it on the contrary should enhance our performance, enhance our particularity, and our care about Menod and Lachavera, and not need to neglect that. Now the Hamikdavah over here, the Tziv, he actually addresses this and shows a framework for all of these three. But it's mamish worthwhile looking at it over Shabbos to see the words of Maftir over here. The Hamikdavah says as follows, Atem Re'isim Kominishim Ma'im Tibati Mochem. Again, the Maftir begins, you have seen that I spoke to you from the heavens. Says the Hamikdavah, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying to Kal Yisrael as follows, you ran back in your fear at Har Sinai, you ran back. But I was there for you. I was there for you. You had that face-to-face, that direct encounter. And from that, says Hashem, I want you to understand that between you and me, there is never any need for any intermediaries. Never. I had a direct communication with you, and you will always have a direct communication with me. Any time, any place, anywhere, you will always have a direct communication with me. Either in terms of tefillah or in terms of limud haTorah, it's always direct. You've seen that for your own eyes. This is a prototype. This is a model for our relationship for Elohim. And in fact, in the world of Bosa Vodom, in the world of Bosa Vodom, as he brings, that you know, you have the presidents, you have the prime ministers, and you have the kings, and very often we don't get a direct audience with these great people, and in fact we have to go through their underlings. And as the world has it, you have to give cover to the underlings, because the underlings are ultimately the conduit to the great person themselves. So we find ourselves giving cover to this person, that person, the deputy this and deputy that, because of course until they fall from grace. When they fall from grace, then they're yesterday's person. But until then, when we can still make use of them, then that's what he brings. So you might have thought that even if, of course, we're not going to create icons or idols to which we attribute power, but we might think that nonetheless we need to create some kind of intermediary to allow us to access a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the mistake, of course, that they made at the Eagle, according to many Mefarshim. Some kind of intermediary to access a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, over here, it's not talking about, it follows immediately. Hashem says, hang on a second, you've had a direct encounter with me. You don't need any intermediary. Not of Elohei Chesed, Elohei Zal. Not even icons that you might present as intermediaries. Not gods, but intermediaries. Don't make that mistake. You've had that direct encounter from me. So it follows axiomatically. The next instruction is, don't create any intermediaries whatsoever. Not of your own device, not of nothing else. Then, of course, it goes on to Mizbeach. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Mizbeach is a, says the Hamikdava, Mizbeach is a demonstration. B'chol makom esha asker eshemi, whenever you mention my name, so we say, Hashem says, avo elecha verachticha. So Mizbeach follows through. What is Mizbeach? Mizbeach is my instrument to create connection between yourself and myself. Remember, we have a direct connection. It's the place where you can gain teshuva. It's a place where you can reconnect with me because we have this direct encounter. It all follows through from the Har Sinai experience. And even when there will be no Mizbeach, even when there will be no Beis HaMikdash, b'chol makom asher asker shemi, any place where I mention my name as a translation, avo elecha uverachticha. So what does it mean that I mention my name, right? I will come there and bless you. She says, this is a reference to Limud HaTorah. Because we know that when a person sits and learns Torah, so the Shekhinah is connected, especially in Torah Balayla. So, Kaviyachal, as we can say so, that you're learning Torah, you're mentioning the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem is intoning it with you. He is corresponding to your Limud HaTorah. That's what it means. Wherever you mention my name, either in Torah or Tefillah, says Hashem, I will be there, and I will be there with you, and I will accompany you, and I will respond to you. So therefore, this pasuk, the way he analyzes it, follows on beautifully from the Sesa Dibros. The Sesa Dibros is why we are whom we are. It's because we had a direct encounter. Then, in Maftah Hashem, summarizes that and says, remember that, no need for any intermediary. I'll be there for you any time. When there is a Beis HaMikdash, even when there is a Beis HaMikdash, I'll be there. Then the next two, so therefore, if you like, that parallels Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That parallels Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It captures it and summarizes it and presents it to Klal Yisrael for all time. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But the other two, the other halachas, are parallel Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why so? Because the halachas that focus on the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, and here he focuses on the Kedusha of the Mizbeach, either in terms of not using a cheret or in terms of the modesty required, that could not happen in Mitzrayim. So Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, you know, in Mitzrayim is a place of tumah. There could be no Mizbeach Adama. There could be no Shlomim. The Korban Pesach you did over there, but nothing else of the Avodah could be done over there. That was a place of tumah. That was a place of immodesty. That was a place of erva. However, I have now extracted you from there. You've stood at Har Sinai. You've now become the Am Kadosh. Now I can take you to a place where you can rectify all of that and create a Mizbeach and create a Beis HaMikdash and create Kedusha. So therefore, he sees that these three mitzvahs are, if you like, the kind of practical application of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in the first statement, I am Hashem, and you need no intermediary, translates in not even Keruvim. I don't even want to see Keruvim. It's not right. It's completely wrong. And then I showed the Tichum at the time, says, I took you out from the Makom Tuma, and I will transplant you, transform you, and transplant you into a Makom Kedusha, where you will have a Mizbeach, when you will have a Beis Hamikdash, and therefore it's translate Anochi Shem Elokecha in its two phrases, I showed the Tichum, into the practicalities of what everyday life will be for Klal Yisrael when they finally get to Eretz Yisrael. So very beautifully captured by the Hamikdash over there. Interesting, he says that in Mitzrayim, you can only have profanity in a place of Kedusha. You can only have profanity in a place of total profanity, then profanity is the absence of Kedusha. But if there's no Kedusha whatsoever over here, then you can't even have profanity. So for example, it says over here that the it's because the Mizbeach has the expectation of Kedusha, therefore to use a sword for Mizbeach is profane, is inappropriate. In a place like Mitzrayim, when the Gantz Sach, the whole thing, there's no possibility of Kedusha over here, then you can't have a chinul. A chinul is the absence of Kedusha. Over here, when there's no place for Kedusha, there can't be the absence of it. The absence presupposes there's a place where it ought to be, and it's not there, that's chinul. As Nefesh HaChaim describes it, the word chinul Hashem comes from the word chinul, which means a hole. A chinul Hashem is where Chas V'Shalom, a person makes a chilul Hashem, that means where that person is implies there's a vacuum in Hashem's presence. There ought to be Kedusha, and there's a vacuum. That's what chilul Hashem is. You can only have chilul when there's an expectation of Kedusha. When there's no expectation of Kedusha, so in Mitzrayim there can't be chilul. Let me round off with the words of Rav Hirsch. I must thank Rabbi Katz from the New Seminary Gates. I met him this week and asked him about Thomas giving a shiur Torah away. Does he have any? And as he always does, he lit up and he told me a very beautiful thought, which he attributed to Rav Hirsch. He thought it was in Rav Hirsch. I looked at Rav Hirsch. I certainly wouldn't have seen it the way he's expounded it from Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch calls this the exact words I have there, but says that these last few psukim demonstrate the ultimate far-reaching consequences of the Aseret Dibros. They show us how far we are supposed to be. Because as follows, if we think about it, the three mitzvahs we've highlighted here really capture, Ben Adam, we capture, they are the parallel of the three cardinal averis. Three cardinal averis are avodah zarah, ginei aroes, shvichas damim. The person mustn't commit avodah zarah, and ginei aroes, shvichas damim. So the first of those three, which is about the kruvim, as Rav Hirsch puts it, he says in several places, Avi Hashem says very, very clearly, I don't care what your intention is. If I haven't instructed this, then it's not for me. I don't care. Hashem says, so I've told you to make these, let's call them the kruvim over here, these icons for the moment, but they don't represent me. As Rav Hirsch says in several places, Hashem says, I don't want you to spend your time thinking about what life is like in heaven. I'm here to instruct you what life should be like on earth. What life should be like on earth. So the kruvim are not a symbol of what life is like in heaven. They're an instruction for what life should be like in earth. In Ben Olam Lamakim, I'm in Olam Lachamera. That's what he says. And therefore, as soon as you deviate from that, no matter how noble your intention, then it's idolatry. It's profane. It has no place over here. So that is an emphatic restatement of the importance of avoiding Avodah Zarah in all of its possible ramifications. Number one. Then we have the Mizbeach. You mustn't use a sword on the Mizbeach. So the Mizbeach over here, within the Mizbeach, you have an emphatic restatement of the importance of Lo Sirtzoch, you shall not kill. And then in Lo Sadav Amalos, which is called an Erva, strong language, it's called an Erva, for the Kohen to walk up the steps and possibly reveal even his covered legs is an Erva. That is an emphatic restatement of the importance of avoidance of anything associated with Ginei Aroes. So over here you have the capturing the three cardinal aspects of Yiddishkeit and the restated over here. And this is what Rabbi Katz says to me so beautifully. He says that many societies might have these as their sins, right? You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not worship idols. Very nice. But if that's where it stops, it's on the statute book. And if you like, that's the bottom line of society. Once you transgress that, then you have... But until that, you can be considered to be a moral person. You consider to be a peaceful person. You consider to be a God-fearing person. That's where it is. Only once you cross that line does your... Do we question your integrity in those areas? It says that's not a moral society, and that's not a peaceful society. Because if that's on the statute books, but it doesn't translate into all of its subtleties, into every aspect of our lives, to distance ourselves from violence, to distance ourselves from anything to do with immodesty, then it may be on the statute books, but that becomes the lowest level, not the highest degree. And we wouldn't want to sleep in a place overnight where it says on the statute books, you shall not murder, but everything else is okay. You shall not commit adultery, but every other form of lewdness is okay. Is that going to create a society that Kosh Baruch wants from us? No. So Rabbi Katz, as I say, he gave this, he says that over here, what the Torah is telling us, that this has to reverberate in every aspect of our lives, in all of its subtleties. Yes, over here, for the Kohen to walk up the steps, that's an aspect of immodesty. That's how sensitive we've got to be to immodesty. To use an instrument, even if it's not a sword, but an instrument could be used as a sword from Mizbeach, that has reverberations of violence that we must keep away from. To have anything that might suggest could be misconstrued as a representation of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we must keep away from. That's what the Torah demands of us. So we're given the Aseret Dibros, and they state very clearly, that Hashem says to us, okay, you know what? This has to permeate your very soul in every aspect, starting with the epicenter of Yiddishkeit, which is the base of Middash, and translating into every aspect of our lives. That's what the Torah demands of us. So, in summary, I've suggested two authoritative ideas, one B'derech Efsha, the two authoritative ones are the Hamik Dover, who says that actually these three mitzvahs translate Anochi Shem Lekecha, Asher Titzicha, into the practicalities of our lives, in terms of Hashkacha Pratis, in terms of the direct and Catholic Kodesh Baruch Hu, wherever we are, Anochi Shem Lekecha, you don't need intermediaries of any sort, and in terms of Asher Titzicha Metosayim, I'm taking from a place of Tuma, where there couldn't be Kedusha, to a place where there can be Kedusha. That's the Hamik Dover. Rav Hirsch says, over here you have captured the three principles of Yiddishkeit. Be careful, Avodah Zorah, Kinnereis and Shvichas Domim, but not just in their rawest sense, but in their most subtle sense, in their most sophisticated sense, so they transform who we are as people in every aspect of our lives. And the third one, Derech Efsha, is that the base, as the Bar Yosef says, certainly in two of them, you have a very clear reminder in your enthusiasm for Medon Mamakim that should enhance your Benadon Machaveru, not displace it. And I suggested that the Kruvim themselves, as a third one, become the ultimate symbol. That in the holiest place of Medon Mamakim, we need to remind ourselves and recall Benadon Machaveru.